Hello and welcome to Stories from the Ridge. I'm Lee Burns, head of school, and today joining me in the podcast studio are two colleagues and friends, Sumner McCauley, Dean of Faculty and Curriculum, and Hank Hopping, our upper school principal. And we're recording this in mid-January while we're in the midst of tornado term for our upper school, or T-term, as we call it for short. We've been doing this now for a number of years. And for some of our listeners who may not be aware of what this is, Sumner, would you sort of give an overview of what it is? And we're going to talk about examples of that and even hear from some teachers and boys during the course of this podcast as well. But Sumner, sort of give us an overview of what it is and why we do it.
Well, I think we have the sense that learning happens more than just in the classroom. There are a lot of different ways in which young men absorb it. Information, ideas, context, skills. And a number of years ago, you allowed us the chance to set aside 2 weeks and drop the normal 50-minute schedule block that we have, which does well. But for some things, we wanted to go deeper and to allow teachers to begin to find passions and share passions that they had with students, where there's a great deal of engagement outside of a classroom setting, going off campus, working with experts, working with alums, and really doing deep dives into something that the student might not otherwise necessarily have stumbled across. And so we've been doing that for a number of years, and it's been incredibly successful.
And, you know, that's part of the philosophy that we've embraced as a school in recent years in our last strategic plan, and actually it's focused in the next strategic plan as well. It's just thinking about the idea that learning takes place in a lot of different places and a lot of different ways, and to the extent we can give our students more flexible, experiential, hands-on learning experiences, I think they really get excited by that. And Hank, as you see our upper school students in recent years being a part of T-term, what are some of the things that you've seen and observed in them?
Yeah, I think T-term in general, some of the best reasons behind it, some of the passion that's emerged from it, might start at the beginning with teachers. You know, teachers, it's easy for them to get sort of pigeonholed into so-and-so is a math teacher, so they're the math person. So-and-so teaches history or science or whatever it may be. And these T-term projects are opportunities for those teachers to take a deep dive with students into a different area in their life that they're equally passionate about. So it opens that door of interest and excitement for them. And then the same thing sort of happens with students. They can sign up for T-terms and have an opportunity to take a good, long look into an area that they probably aren't going to have an opportunity to do in a traditional school setting. So it's really cool to watch that happen. It's been great fun to watch our boys engage in those kinds of programs. And then thirdly, I'd add in that alumni have engaged with T-term in a number of ways, which has made for great connections between current students and former students, between faculty and the students they may have taught a number of years ago, and between alumni and the school in general. So it's been a win on all three levels.
Yeah. And this year we have, I believe, 36 different T-term That's offerings, right. And you know, a whole wide range of offerings and learning experiences. Sumner, share with our audience, so give us a sense of what some of those are.
Yeah, that's a great, and picking back on Hank's comment, so we have a teacher, for instance, Andrew Ominger, who teaches honors biology, but he also lived in Indonesia for a number of years. And so one of the courses he offered was on Indonesian culture, and they got to do batik, had an invited guest coming in to do that. He actually took them down to Emory. In fact, they're there actually right now as we speak, with some of his former students who are now students at Emory. So Indonesian students learning language, learning culture, learning how they've connected with the United States. So that'd be one example. Have another group that's focused on science fiction and the science fiction writing and history and movies and how that fits together. We have other groups that are making ukuleles. I mean, the range is pretty amazing, and it really highlights how the teachers have individual passions. They have individual backgrounds or expertise that may not necessarily be just what they're doing in their classroom, and the students get to tap into that.
Yeah, you know, yesterday I went down to the Innovation Lab and saw one of the T-terms in action, and they're making video games down there. Arcade games. I mean, those are traditional arcade games back from our generation, but you still have to do coding and programming. You have to use a studio space down there to actually build consoles that fit the games in. And then figure out, okay, what's the structure of the game and stuff.
Right.
It pulls together a lot of different disciplines and areas of thought. I think it makes it really interesting.
And it introduces students. Our guys to, for instance, we have a pretty phenomenal workshop that's in that space, you know, physical wood and metal cutting. And so it introduces guys to that, that they may, in fact, then carry over into their other classes. A history teacher says, hey, I'm interested in a project and I want you to sort of reveal this. And a student says, not just, oh, I could write a paper or I could do a discussion, but I want to produce something. I want to use my hands. I want to use my thought process. I want to use the art piece, and I want to build a model of the ground on which this particular battle happened. Or I want to build a ship. In fact, this is happening on a world history classes. I want to build a ship that represents the type of trade that was happening in this particular century. And it gives the students a much deeper sense. So sometimes the teacher projects are introducing areas of the school to students, which they then will then use in their actual classes.
And then Hank, what about you? What are some of the T-term classes that you've observed or participated with, or that you're excited that our students are especially engaged in?
Yeah, there's two that I've actually engaged in myself that have been a ton of fun. A number of years ago, Bob Byers and I did a T-term on baseball, and we got to explore not only the game of baseball, but the business of baseball. And through Bob's family connection, we got to have a Zoom call with Bud Black, who at the time was the manager, I think, of the Colorado Rockies. And then we took a trip to Atlanta, and Chris Hall, an active alum with us who lives down in Atlanta and has connections with the Braves, he got us into the corner office with John Schuerholz and the Braves organization and a tour of SunTrust Stadium. And it was a tremendous experience for guys who are interested in the game and the business behind behind baseball. And then the last couple of years, I've been leading a T-term on bread baking, which is a sort of a quiet passion of mine. I would say I'm somewhere between a novice and an intermediate baker, certainly not an expert, but I enjoy the process and I enjoy most of what's produced from that process. And the boys that have signed up for that T-term have been great fun to work with. I think there's myriad lessons in the kitchen and in baking bread about everything from the chemistry behind how ingredients work together to produce something like that, to the importance of following directions in a certain order to get a certain outcome, and the real world experience of getting to, maybe sometimes having to, eat what you produce is memorable.
It's wonderful, actually. Sorry to interrupt. It's wonderful because Hank then brings some of the items that his groups has produced to the Learning Center, and those of us munch on it. But Hank, you actually had a really interesting experience this morning, in fact, with a bakery that you discovered. I wonder if that might be something you'd share.
Yeah. So we the last day for us for this tea term is we do two things. We decided that we would have the boys create their own cookbook. So they would have the collection of all the recipes that they worked on. So if they wanted to go back and try them again, or if they had a favorite, they could have those resources going down the road. And then while they were creating those cookbooks, I decided we would bring in some breads and pastries from the professionals. So we went to a handful of bakeries in town and just picked up a few of their specialties. And one of the bakeries, first time I've ever been in it, is down here on Brainerd Road. It's a Hispanic bakery that is just kind of carved into the corner just down the road. And when you walk in, it is a sort of a market meets self-serve bakery. And they give you a metal tray that looks like the thing you'd get a pizza on in a restaurant. And they give you a pair of tongs. And you go hit the plastic bins where all their foods and pastries and breads are, and you pick the ones you want and then take them to the counter and pay for them individually. And the one food in there I recognized was churros, which are pretty familiar Hispanic dessert dish. And they had this incredibly cool thing they did with these churros. Is the lady at the counter asked me if I wanted them stuffed. And I was like, sure, why not? And so she turned and had this contraption that looked like it belonged in an operating room. It was a metal cylinder with a pump on the top of it and a long tube coming out of it that was also metal, but about the shape of an IV tube. And she stuck this churro up this metal tube and pulled this pump, and this filling came right down into the thing. She pulled it out and handed these things off, and They were some of the first foods gone this morning, I'll tell you that. So it was a fascinating experience into a different culture and a different piece of Chattanooga that, you know, we just might not otherwise be in. Yeah.
Well, speaking of different cultures, a couple of things we've changed in recent years we've added to. One, more components to travel, both abroad and internationally as well. We'll talk about that first. And then also we've added internships for our seniors around the city, around the country, and even around the world. And Sumner, talk a little bit about some of the travel that's now part of T-Term.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. So for the first year, we've gone international. We've had some local travel, and most of the T-Term courses over the since the inception have gone off campus and visited various places and even gone within the state or outside. But this year, for the first time, we went international, and we're able to give students a phenomenal experience and a whole range of experiences. One group went to Italy. There's a lot of culture, a lot of history that they've studied that's led by two of our Latin teachers, so deep experts there. Another group went to Cuba, and what an amazing experience to have a chance to go to a country that not necessarily a lot of other folks have been able to go to, led by the head of our Spanish department and his wife, and to practice the language and get a sense of that culture and rich history there. Another group has gone to Guatemala, doing phenomenal service work, also working with language, and a final group to Colombia, and they worked with a service group with lacrosse and helping to develop that sport. So a really wide range of ways. It's not just, hey, let's get them off campus and travel to a country. We're not doing just a tourist piece. There's a place for that, and maybe families can do that on their own, but from a school perspective, to really deep dive into the culture, the history, the language, and have those experiences. We've seen a number of pictures coming back from those trips. I'm looking forward to seeing and talking with those guys as they come back.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Our students have the opportunity to travel. And speaking of travel a bit closer to home, one of our T-Terms that we've been doing for a number of years now is Southern Rock, where this year Duke Ritchie and Chip Arnold took some students on a tour of some of the southern cities to learn more about the history of Southern Rock, not just what it means culturally and stories behind it, but also the business behind it as well. I have an alumnus, Jay Williams, up in Nashville, who's really big in the country music industry on the business side of it. Spent some time with them. And let's listen to Chip and a couple of students talk about their experience.
Hello, I'm Chip Arnold. I'm a Spanish teacher in the high school at Macaulay. Also coach swimming, both at the middle school, high school levels here on the Ridge. And I'm here to talk today about what we did on our Southern Music Tornado Term, also known as T-Term, also known as the Southern Rock T-Term over the years. With me today is Border Hart Hughes from Charlotte, North Carolina, and day student Henry Clark from Chattanooga, Tennessee, two venerable students that came with me and Dr. Duke Ritchie on this Tornado Term.
I had so much fun on this T-Term. It was just an absolute blast. I actually heard about it for my mom was kind of getting on me, you know, figuring out what I wanted to do for T-Term because she saw the list that got posted and she recommended that I do this one. And I am so glad that I did the Southern Rock T-Term because I'm super interested in music. I play guitar, piano. I'm actually doing the talent show this next weekend. I'm doing Billy Joel Piano Man with the harmonica, piano, singing. But I really like music in general, and so it was really cool to be able to go to the studios and see everything that I listen to is produced. Like Drive-By Truckers, I love. So David Barbie, he was able to show us, you know, how all that stuff worked, which was really interesting, really fun.
Yeah, and I guess the reason I picked it, I've always had like a general interest in music, and I wouldn't really say I was passionate or anything about Southern music, but it just kind of caught my eye. And like the idea of going to see like behind the scenes, I guess, of where everything's made. And it was pretty cool. Like music that everyone's listening to nowadays, we kind of got to go behind the scenes. When we were talking with Jay Williams and the artist he signed, you know, we were kind of just bringing up names like, oh, do you know Zach Bryan? They're like, oh yeah, you know, we signed him, we know him. And it was just pretty interesting. Like, people that are so popular nowadays, these people are like the reason they are where they are and how their music gets made, and seeing the studio and everything, it was pretty unbelievable, and it was not what I was expecting.
No, my favorite part was definitely the meet and threes. We would stop at these restaurants along the way, and you know, Muscle Shoals, Macon, Georgia, and I would always get the meat and three. I love Southern food.
I think I gained 5 or 6 pounds over this tornado term.
Yeah.
Which is something when you, once you get a certain age, and I, as I am today, those meat and threes over the years we've discovered, they come up and grab you. You know, when you're trying to do a healthy January, that's not going to work out. And that's one of the aspects we like to incorporate into the tornado term, besides the Southern Rock, the history of Southern Rock. Duke Ritchie and I refer to it as the circle of influence around Chattanooga. In case you, for our listeners, that we do have a couple of other podcasts about this, Southern Music at Macaulay and our tornado term. If this is your first time hearing about this, what we do is we try to make a little tour of the South, take students that either like Hart may be already playing or are interested in music, or there were other students like Henry who perhaps saw this genre, saw other guys here listening to it and wanted to know more about what that was about. And so we cover the territory that the circle between Nashville, Memphis, Muscle Shoals, Alabama. We dipped down into Georgia this year and went to Macon and Athens to add a new twist to the tornado term for the first time in our 7 years of doing this. And that's a lot. That's a couple of things that Hart and Henry were referring to. The meat and threes are also a part of what we try to do, the cuisine that goes with it.
Henry talked about Jay Williams.
Yes, sir.
Chip, can you tell us who he is?
Right. Jay is a classmate of mine. I'm the class of 90. Jay graduated with me. And Jay and I grew up off and on in the town of Cleveland, Tennessee, right up the road here. And Jay moved around a little bit during his youth growing up. He lived in Nashville for a while, Memphis for a while. And once we graduated, he got into the music business. As the best way to describe it is probably a booking agent. And he is one of the premier booking agents these days in Nashville at William Morris Endeavors. He signed a new rising talent known as Luke Bryan at the time when Luke was coming up from Georgia. Luke actually did a concert here at Macaulay a while back. I think it was 2008, and some students and faculty and I got to meet Luke at the time. Jay set that up, and that was when Luke's career was taking off. Jay then signed other artists, including Chris Stapleton, another really well-known country artist these days, and is just simply one of the biggest names. He's one of the partners at William Morris Endeavors, and so we get to go up to his office. I think the guys might tell you about how we had the good fortune of watching a band walk in when we walked in at the same time. Remember that, guys? And it said, welcome. What were their names? The Red Clay Strayers, I think they were.
Red Clay Strays.
Red Clay Strays, right. Yep. And the guy saw this. Here's a great T-term moment. The guy saw this, and they put it together. I was kind of peering through the window, waiting for Jay to come out of his office, and some of the students said, hey, you know what, Mr. Arnold, you know, these, that's the artists that are on that.
Yeah, there was all these pictures of the artists posted everywhere, like on screens, and we saw them walk in and we were like, oh my gosh, like those are the guys. Those are the guys that are on their pictures. And they were in there for a meeting.
And they signed them. So we got in a meeting with Jay at the conference table there, and he was welcoming all of us, and we immediately had some questions about that. And Jay said, yeah, you'd be on the lookout for these guys. I think we signed them. I think they're going to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's just the kind of moments we like. And sometimes we look for them, and sometimes they just roll up to us, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's pretty interesting asking him questions like, how often do you find an artist and it doesn't really end up going as you expected? Like, oh, these people are going to be big, and then they kind of like flop. And they said that's like 90% of the time. And so with the band they were signing in there, they were like, you know, keep your eye out for these guys. They're going to be big. So they kind of just have, it seems like they have an eye for it, and they know, they can see like, oh, maybe in a year these people are going to be big. But it was pretty interesting to see like, just kind of what they see in a person, because obviously, you know, they're still small. They're not a big deal. They need to figure out, you know, are these people, does someone want to listen to these people? What's special about them? And I thought that was very interesting. They had an eye for it.
So one of the things that really jumped out at me about that clip is how our boys connect with alumni and just the opportunities that they have to meet fascinating, interesting, talented alums that are involved in some really cool professions.
And, you know, it's great when our alums get involved in those ways. And probably one of the largest ways they've gotten involved with T-Term in the last several years is with our internships. And several years ago, we began encouraging our seniors to do an internship for for a couple of weeks during tea term. And that's, you know, in some cases it's in Chattanooga or their hometowns or even abroad in some cases as well. And a lot of cases it's an alumnus who's an expert, very experienced in a particular field that a student might have some interest in. And, you know, we help connect them there. And tell a little bit more about how that internship program
That's been a fantastic program, because the idea for us is that we want seniors to begin to experience real life, day-to-day operations of a particular profession that they might be interested in. And what we found is as students do this, they sometimes dive into something and say, yes, this is exactly what I'm interested in. Other times they dive into it and think, wow, I thought this was one thing, but maybe not. And to have the alums be able to share their experience, their insights, their day-to-day operations makes an enormous difference. We have internships going on right now that relate from neurology to law to all sorts of different types of businesses to nonprofit service, social work, students being able to experience areas of youth at risk or working with ministry or financial advisors. So to have alums be willing to give of their time, the hope is that it's not a person hooking onto their coattails and staying with them hour after hour in their day, but giving some direction, giving them some projects, and helping them understand truly what the profession is about has made a real difference.
Yeah. I was talking to a parent just yesterday who was talking about an internship his son was doing in the healthcare field and was just having such a great experience. I was really excited about that. You know, my own son, who's a senior last year, did an internship in London in the commercial real estate field with several other Macaulay students as well. So it's just such a wide range of experiences and just rich experiences that they can have, a great opportunity for them.
Yeah, and I really like how they meet a wide range of people. The people who host them certainly are on point with that, and it's alumni that are intricately involved in that, and then some parents and families and people connected to the schools in other ways that get involved as well. It's really exciting. And then just, you know, the experience they have of that real world work thing that some of them don't have a ton of experience with before that, because they're so fully engaged in school life and athletics and the things that they do around that. So I think it's a huge win for Macaulay.
And in a lot of cases also, it's a student doing something that's out of their comfort zone, and maybe even something they didn't realize exactly what it was going to be. And sometimes, you know, teenage boys are like, I 36 different choices, but maybe I'll try something that's so different I don't know much about or not really sure about it. And so, you know, one of those examples was, you know, we've got a textile arts T-term. And want to hear from a couple of boys who did that textile arts T-term with Randy Odle and Ross Shoemate.
This is Randy Odle. I am joined here with Ross Shoemate and two students, Benjamin and Anthony. I am a history teacher, head of the history department, but today talking about tornado term. And Ross and I have been tornado term partners since it started, but we are in the middle of our third incarnation of tornado term. We call it textile arts, which is a fancy way of disguising the fact that we are making quilts. It's something that I have to say was Ross's idea, because his mother is an expert instructor at quilts. And so we brought in reinforcements, and Miss Lois Shoemate flies in from Texas and very graciously gives us 2 weeks of our time where we teach guys how to use sewing machines to make their own individual quilt. And honestly, it was something I had never, ever done before, and something that Ross doesn't have expertise in until very recently. And so now I'm going to turn it over. Anthony and Benjamin, give us some ideas on why you signed up for this course and how'd it turn out for you?
I'm Benjamin Jung, and I'm a freshman day student. When I signed up for textile arts, I'm going to be honest with you, I had no idea what textile meant. Like the morning when we were driving to school, you know, pull out my phone, quickly type in textile arts, see some All right. images, and I'm like, oh, they said blanket in the description. Now I get why it's a blanket. So I walk in there, you know, we have this giant room with tons of sewing machines in there. And I immediately think, this is going to be painful. Tedious, needles, all of that. But it actually turned out to be quite a lot of fun. And in my opinion, it's going to serve useful for us in the future. Because just the ability to sew is a very useful skill.
I'm Anthony Sian. I'm also a freshman day student. This was actually my second choice as a T-term, but I guess I'm glad I got it as my T-term because it was really
fun. You were our second choice as a student too.
Well, I knew what textile was. It was like, I knew it was like something about fabric, but I didn't know we were making quilts. I walked in, I expected sewing machines. It was set up very like array-like, which I didn't really expect. But it was really fun, and I think it's really nice to have like something tangible to like see that what you did during T-term, instead of like where other T-terms, I guess it's kind of obscure.
Hey Ross, a couple weeks ago or a couple days ago, I guess you said that it's like the perfect blend of creativity and monotony. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I remember seeing that quote exactly on the Facebook article that Mark Weedwer was so kind to write up for us. The ideas, I mean, captured in this idea of flow, where we kind of get enraptured and caught into things, where if you've ever been in one of those activities where you kind of insert yourself and then hours go by and you look up and it you know, whether it be like playing with Legos or playing video games, that idea that you get drawn into things. And I feel like the sewing machine and that process of sewing can do that for you, where, you know, you blink an eye and it's already time to go to lunch and you're thinking, no, I've got to finish this. And so I do, there's something about the whirl of the sewing machine and the kind of repetitive nature, but yet the idea that it's within the context of this larger created thing that seems to be able to just draw you in.
What was the reaction like by family or friends to your final product?
So my dad's birthday was, I think, 2 days after we finished T-term. So I gave it to him for his birthday.
Nice.
And he really liked it. I think he has it hung up. But he thinks it was like really cool. I don't think he believed me when I said that I stitched it all myself. And he thought it was like really cool that I actually like made like, I guess, a usable piece of work.
For me, my family was kind of surprised because I work a lot in the metal working and, you know, woodworking, and the projects tend to take longer because, you know, like you have to wait for something to cool off. You have to wait for the glue to set. But this was like 2 weeks is a short time for one of my projects, and to bring it home and like we put it, the color scheme actually matches like our couch, and my mom was, she was like, no way you finished this. And I'm like, yeah, I stitched it and all. And she's like, no. Like, there was no real, you know, she didn't trust me enough to know that, you know, I stitched a 49 by 49 quilt. And I don't blame her. It's a big quilt, but it went by really fast. And my parents were just really happy and impressed about having a quilt that I could make. And that I know how to make one.
So that's a wonderful clip to me because it shows how incredibly interested students may find themselves in something they may not have initially known exactly what it was. And under the guidance of teachers and connecting with teachers that they may have had and perceived, as Hank sort of noted, hey, this is a history teacher, but I didn't know that Mr. Odle had all these other aspects to him and this interest. That's one of those really fun moments, which is what T-term is all about.
That's great. And it's just about so many different things, and even courses that if you look at the title, you're like, what is that? How is there any learning in that? So for instance, you know, gummies, and yet what's really happening.
Yeah, that's Dr. Dobrin. Summer. That's wonderful. Dr. Dobrin, who is expanding actually a half day course to a full day course on making candy. And it's sort of like like Hank's baseball example, it's not just the specifics of, you know, gummy bears, and they actually made gummy bears and used molds, and it was fun to watch, and the guys mixing the various chemicals together and thinking, I'm going to eat this. This is really how this works. But then also going to candy factories and understanding the business behind it and understanding how they market and how they sort of think about it, how they find materials from various places. So they made a number of candy that they could eat, which is always fun for guys. You've got to make it engaging. You've got to make it connected. You've got to make it, food is always a great piece. Yeah. But to see the how it connects with something larger. And in fact, we have alums that are involved in the sugar industry. That'd be a good example of how we could make those connections.
Yeah, so the chemistry behind candy making, it's like there's one about gambling, but it's about the science and psychology and math behind gambling. So a lot of these topics seem, you know, I mean, they're fun and seem like they might be sort of a lighthearted topic with some of them, but really it's just an entryway into deeper thinking and understanding and seeing connections and ways to think about things and how different disciplines of that connect together.
That's right.
It's really cool to see.
And I had a student come out of that gambling thing saying, I'm never going to go into a casino. Good heavens, that they're always going to win. And it was a good understanding of how that math works.
Maybe as good a lesson as any from that, right? Yeah. The house always wins.
And then speaking of lessons learned and so forth, you know, there's a T-term about, you know, along the lines of what's it mean to be a man and skills that men need to learn in particular. So it's such a wonderful range. And Sumner, thank you in particular for your leadership and coordination and vision for T-term. Really appreciate that. And it's just one of the things I think makes Macaulay really unique. And January is a nice time to do that too. It can be kind of a, you know, cold and dreary. And so to come back, you know, from the holidays and to have the upper school students and faculty to have a couple of weeks with T-term and just to see the relationships and students get to know teachers a lot of times they wouldn't normally get to know, and teachers from different departments working together. So it's a great community building process.
One of the things I've noticed with T-term in general is how well it connects to boys, how well it connects to the ways they learn, how well it connects to the ways they build relationship, how well it connects to the ways they explore. You know, we talk sometimes about boys learn by crashing into things and boys learn by the experiences that they have as much as anything. And this is an opportunity for them to do all of that under the guidance and camaraderie of teachers and faculty who are committed to them, who are engaged in the subject, who put a lot of time and energy into the process. And I think it's a wonderful thing for the boys and for the community.
It really is neat to see how Tornado Term has become even though it's a relatively new tradition, but something that's really part of the school community and culture. And just one of those many things that makes Macaulay such a special place. And it's great to engage parents and alums in supporting this. And if you're listening to this and you think you might want to plug in some way, host an intern next year or host some students as part of a T-term, please let us know, because we're all one big Macaulay family, and help us make this even better. Thanks so much for joining us today. Stories from the Ridge, and Go Big Blue.
You've been listening to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay School's podcast series. I'm Drew Reed, Chief Development Officer, and I want to thank you for listening and for supporting Macaulay. Support from you, our listeners, is what allows us to bring you these podcasts, and more importantly, to provide Macaulay students with a world-class education and to attract and retain the great teachers, coaches, and counselors that make Macaulay such a special place. Thanks for your support. And if you have comments on this podcast or any other of our growing number of podcasts, let us hear from you. Thanks for listening.